Now, just to warn you, I'm calling on a satellite phone. We could drop off a couple times because of the battery or because of the connection, so I'll just dial back into this number.
Sure, no problem. And where are you exactly right now?
We're in Antarctica. We've traveled about 250 miles. We've got about 300 miles to go until we make it to the South Pole. We're on the outskirts of the Steel Mountain.
You know that you're supposed to be going to the North Pole just before Christmas? Just in case you got the polarities wrong, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, the Sendero GPS equipment sent us the wrong direction.
Oh, no!
Let me just say, first of all, that, you know, we really appreciate the chance to test this device. It's been a really good expedition so far. We read a bit about Sendero as a company from the website. We think it's a really fascinating company. And, we recognize that this isn't kind of the normal intended environment for the device. You probably don't have a lot of people walking around the South Pole, but still I think we've got some good insights that maybe your team can use.
That's great.
That being said, I thought maybe I'd do a couple introductions, and then I'd talk about some of the software and hardware. I got to warn you, we've been having a little bit of trouble with our solar panel, so I'm just trying to keep the call under 20 minutes, if that's all right.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Alan, do you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, it's Alan. Once again, just to echo Andrew, thanks ever so much for the support you've given us, and really glad we've had the opportunity to test the device down here. Obviously, with myself being visually impaired, I can sort of completely see how much this would enhance someone's life. But particularly, I'm like Alan, Mitch, and Andrew from Polarvision. So we literally just started. As we were saying, the device is, although this is out of its, I guess, its usual realm of use, as someone who is visually impaired, I can completely see how this would, sort of really enhance the independence of people. So it's a sort of real credit to being done. Thanks again for your support. Expedition is going very well. And, we hope to be able to send you some nice photos back soon. So I'll pass on to Rich.
Hi, guys. Just the final thought of Polarvision here. Just to echo what the other guys have said, we are really grateful for some of their support of Polarvision. We are trying to do something quite unique here, and so we're really pleased to be able to work with a company which we see as pretty unique as well. So with that, I'll just pass you over to Andrew, who I think has the main bulk of what we want to say.
Okay.
Okay, great. Hey guys, let me give you an idea just about how we've been using the device. We have basically a straight shot, basically 180-degree azimuth that we follow every single day. Maybe some slight variations, but overall the same. We do 6 75-minute marches a day. So we really just have a direction, and we follow it every day. And then it's a vast expanse of empty snow. So really it's just, a blank spot on the map, as you could imagine. So I just want to speak to a couple software and hardware issues with the device, and then we'll go from there. The first thing is entering waypoints. Right now, the only way to enter waypoints is to enter them in as a degree with a series of as degrees and decimals. We've been going off statute miles, we've been going off nautical miles and hours, minutes, and seconds. So the way I've been finding, I only have two waypoints for this entire 600-mile journey. What I've been doing is using my other GPS. I zoom in all the way, and then I go 180 degrees. And I position the reticle, 2 nautical miles or so south of where we're going that day. And then I copy that number and I enter it into the Sendero device. I think possibly a more useful thing might be if I could just enter a heading and a bearing and a distance directly into the device. I think that'd ultimately be less number punches for the user, and it would be more useful for what we're trying to do right now.
That's a great idea.
And I think it might be good for people who are off a map,
The next thing is how the device tells if we're off track. After you've entered our waypoint, there's three settings for actual navigation. The device here right now, the first is pedestrian route, the second is vehicle route, the third is the getting warmer function. Because we're not on a map, the first two functions don't really work, so we've been using the getting warmer function. The issue with the getting warmer function is it doesn't really say if you're going off track. The way you have to track it is, it repeats your
current location, but it doesn't repeat your speed and bearing. So the only way to really know right now if we're getting off track is to kind of monitor the distance and see if the distance to this waypoint I've entered is getting smaller or not. You know, so potentially, you know, as long as I'm going 180 degrees south, you know, that distance will kind of decrease. It's hard to tell if it's decreasing optimally. For something like this with a blank map, a more useful thing might be if it took an average of my position over the last 100 meters and just read me my heading over and over again, then I could compare that heading to the bearing I entered into the device. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Well, I'm assuming, Charles, we don't have multiple repeat or the ability to do the heading on geo, is that right?
Yeah, the functionality on... Sorry, go ahead.
And, Andrew, what you're talking about is something we have on our other products, but just not on Geo.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I got the feeling this would be really good for if I was at a gym and someone recommended a coffee shop to me, I feel like this would be, you know, if I had the map data, this could do a really good job getting us there, you know?
Yeah, the other feature we have on our other product is the ability to change it to degrees, so it would say, you know, your destination is 5 degrees to the left or 10 degrees to the right.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And that kind of feeds into the hardware side. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, this is in a Windows 6 phone. You know, the buttons are pretty small for glove hands. You know, we really don't need the keyboard functionality out here. The way we've been using it is, you know, the battery, too, it's hard to keep it warm. So we've actually been just tucking the device into the goggle wristband, you know, the goggle fan. So it's right next to the ear so you can still hear it. But the button that you tap to the right to get to repeat the direction is pretty small as well. So this keeps it kind of accessible. If you kind of memorize that spot on your forehead, you can keep tapping it and get kind of that distance.
That's awesome.
We try to be innovative down here.
In our other product, we have what's called a multiple repeat function. And so you can pick that you can repeat whatever you want. So you could pick speed, destination, distance, heading, and then all of those things, one or all of those things can be repeated every whatever specified interval, every 30 seconds, every 5 minutes, whatever you wanted. So we've geared those towards, we've had some blind sailors who use those functions, and really that's what you needed to have on this trip too.
Yeah, that should be really good. I mean, I've used, about 5 years ago, I used like an audio. I don't think it was manufactured by yourselves, but what it gave was an increasing and decreasing tone, and this was for dinghy sailing. But it's very frustrating to use, so I'd be pretty keen to have a look at some of your other products, because, yeah, having just a readout of heading and speed and being able to sort of set the interval as well as to how often you wanted to get that information repeated would be really good.
I have a question for you guys. As you're going along, I mean, how often do you come across a crevasse or things like that?
We've chosen our route so as to avoid crevasses. The terrain has actually been really consistent, although once we get down to the 87th degree, I think there's supposed to be some pretty vicious sastrugi. I don't know, Alan. As Alan can tell you, he hadn't really skied much before we went on this trip, but even in a couple of weeks, I think his technique is improving it. But the thing is, I mean, even the smallest sastrugi, it seems like the skis are helping you kind of clamber right over it, right?
For me, I'll trust you what's on site, so you kind of got an issue of an idea of what's coming up. If the weather conditions are much worse, you will wipe out, so I just can't use any of the visual cues I still have left, then, yeah, I'm very reliant on, like, Rich, Andrew, and Hannah to sort of help guide me over the sastrugi. And it's a little bit frustrating because it's like someone spilled, like, a big, massive pile of ice cube and sort of refroze it, and you're trying to water your way over it, so you can't see it, really. It's a bit of a nightmare. So far we've... The conditions and the weather have been, relatively kind to us. So, yeah, long may it continue.
So, describe where you guys are right now. I assume you're inside of a tent or something all bundled up. And what time of day is it? And just what's it like there?
Well, it's about 8 p.m. here. I just boiled up a big pot of water. We're about to eat dinner. We had a really sunny, beautiful day today. It wasn't so bad. I think it's about minus 10 outside right now, if I had a guess. But it's pretty warm here just because we're four people in a tent that's like 5 foot by 5 foot, so we're pretty close in here.
We've been lucky. We've had really good weather so far in the Mesner Route, and we've been making really good time. We've been covering over 50 miles every day.
Light most of the time now also, correct?
24 hours a day,
yeah,
actually. The sun never sets here.
Yep.
And yet we still have problems with our solar panels.
Yeah, and yet we still can't get our solar panels to work right.
Wow.
And Andrew and Alan, the two of you are there, and who else is cozied up in that tent with you?
The third member of the team, Richard Smith, and our intrepid guide, Anna McKeon.
Brave woman.
Yeah, she's so brave.
Well, it's pretty exciting to hear from you guys and fun to just picture where you are down there on that adventure. That's absolutely phenomenal. So what happens when you get to the pole?
We have a party.
We have a bunch of things to get down there. We've been raising money for Guide Dogs for the Blind and Sight Savers International. Oh, another thing we offered as a perk was personal polar messages. So we have a whiteboard with us, and we're going to write a bunch of messages to some of our donors as well. I've been kind enough to support those charities. We take a plane back to Union Glacier, and then from Union Glacier back to Buenos Arenas, Chile.
How much does the equipment weigh that you're carrying with you?
Sleds weigh about 100 pounds apiece, which contains about a little more than two weeks of food, along with all of our tent equipment and emergency clothes and then things like that. Fuel's pretty heavy.
Do you have any resupply points along the route? Or?
We do. We have a resupply every 13 to 15 days, so that's about two resupplies for us.
Okay.
We had our first resupply a few days ago, and we have another one coming up in about 9 days.
All right.
So she kind of just in time for Christmas.
Wow.
Richard, this will be our first white Christmas.
All right, well, you guys may want to get to that hot boiled water and have some dinner.
If you guys want to, if you go to our website, we have contact details for Richard's sister, who's actually been helping us kind of stay in touch with the regular world. Yeah, so there's a contact us button. We're polar-vision.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, well, good luck with everything, and it was really a treat to hear from you guys.
Sunny days, wind at your back, and Godspeed.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your help.